If you would, please, to 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter. We'll get there shortly. Take up your sermon guide, and the scripture for this morning is in it. 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter. We're not going immediately to it, but that's going to be a place I want you to turn to this morning. I want to make you aware of a couple of things for prayer concerns. First of all, we meet every Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock. For the specific purpose of prayer. And I'm not going to share with you what I'm going to share with that group at 5 o'clock because they have been the ones so faithful in prayer, and I believe God is hearing our prayers. A couple of things. Ohio this week became the sixth state that outlawed abortion after a heartbeat. Amen. Yeah, give the Lord a hand praise. That's being very gracious because I believe that life begins at conception. So we're being very gracious to wait a few days, and I'm so thankful that that's happening. I'm also thankful to tell you that it's been reported that over 84 Planned Parenthood abortion workers have already decided that they will quit their jobs because of the movie Unplanned. Amen. So Christian movies are having an impact. That's why the left was so vigorous in trying to discredit this movie before it came out. So the next one that's coming out this week is an animated version of Pilgrim's Progress. And I bought the tickets. And the day I bought the tickets or the next day, Jeannie's sister calls and says, you know, Mom and Dad's, our mom's family reunion is next Saturday. And I can't take her, so we're going to have to go to the family reunion. So I got two tickets that somebody's going to get. Tammy, you don't qualify. You know why? You're not a senior adult, and mine are senior adult tickets. So anyway, Thursday night, that's showing Thursday night and next Saturday only at 11 o'clock or something, 12:55, something like that in Texarkana. The third thing I want you to pray about is... I want to tell you, I'm not absolutely convinced that our president, quote, is saved. I see some signs that he might be, but I'm not convinced. But I'm convinced that our vice president, Mike and Karen Pence, are godly people. And if you're not keeping up with it, I can't tell you exactly, I can't pronounce the guy's name, but there's a guy that's a mayor in Indiana, and he's an openly gay politician. He's the only openly gay man that has announced to run for president. And he is a man that has the background, Indiana, Mike Pence. Indiana, everybody knows that Mike Pence has treated this man with nothing but respect and been kind towards him. And now, to make a political scene, he is calling Mike Pence a homophobic and a bigot towards people that are gay and lesbian. And so just pray for Mike Pence that he could be as shrewd as a snake and as innocent as a dove and conduct himself in a godly manner. Because I can tell you, it's difficult. I think he's doing a great thing. I think he's letting his wife take the front. And she's being very kind with it. So pray for Mike and Karen Pence. I believe they're very godly people. So we are in the last sermon of a series of sermons on Matthew chapter 10, verse 7. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7. Next Sunday will be in the resurrection. The next Sunday I'm going to preach about being as shrewd as a snake. I'm sorry, 2 weeks from today, as shrewd as a snake and innocent as doves. I've never preached that verse by itself. I'm looking forward to it. So we have been looking at this verse in Matthew, the 10th chapter. He's called he's called all his followers up on the mountain. He's picked his first 12. Who was the first? Are you toddlers listening? Who was the first apostle that's named and the one that preached the first sermon in Jesus' church? Who was that? Peter. Peter was the guy that preached the first sermon. We studied that this morning. And so he calls them up on the mountain. And he picks his 12, and then he sends them out immediately to go carry the gospel message. Remember in that trip, just to the Jews? And so we've looked at those first 15 verses. those first 15 verses at the end of it says, Sodom and Gomorrah will be judged more leniently than you who have heard the message and not done anything with it. Y'all listen to me this morning. I'm going to slow down when I say this. If you continue to hear the gospel message about Christ and His death on the cross and continue to not embrace that message for your salvation, and you should die without believing in Christ, you will be judged more strictly at judgment than Sodom and Gomorrah. It's a fearful thing to hear the message and not receive it, not to accept it. It's a fearful thing. And then we get to verse 16. When you go, be as shrewd as a snake and innocent as a dove. But we're going back to verse 7 this time. Matthew 10, it's the first scripture there. And it says, as you go, preach, saying, this is what we've not looked at. We're going to begin to look at this morning. We won't look at it any time in the future, but I can promise you I'm going to come back to this, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Listen, I'm getting exactly what I suspected to get. A deer in the headlight look. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. And I believe that we as Christian people and as a church have missed out on a great blessing by not encouraging our people who are followers of Jesus to enter into the kingdom of God and to become a part of that kingdom. I want to reason with you this morning from the scripture. I want to reason with you this morning practically. If you could pick out the greatest king in Israel's history or the greatest king of all times throughout the countries or the greatest president, or if you could pick out a person that was kind of like a king, he had a lot of notoriety, he was honest, he was wealthy, he had lots of stuff, and he was good to people. And if you could become a part of that family, many of us would for selfish reasons. But listen, I'm talking about a kingdom that you can enter into that no earthly king can stand up to the requirements. I'm talking about entering into the kingdom of the perfect Son of God, the perfect King, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. You can enter into His kingdom. Let me ask you, if you have that opportunity, and all Christians have that opportunity, how come many, many more are not entering into and submitting to the lordship of Jesus Christ? Why? That's my question this morning. That's what we're going to look at. That's what I want to reason with you this morning. Luke 9:2 says, and He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Mark 1:15, and saying, the time is fulfilled. The what? The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. We've looked at what preaching it is. You remember preaching got its name from an emperor would send out a herald to proclaim a great announcement, like a son is born. I'm glad I came to the son is born. Caesar, if he had been a king, would have sent a king out to Friday afternoon proclaiming in the streets of Juarez and the streets of Mexico City and the streets of Nashville, Arkansas, saying, hear ye, Aaron and Caesar Soto have a son that we want to introduce you. His name is Liam Juan Soto, and he's home and he's doing well. But an emperor would send a herald out. So a preacher is a herald. But a preacher is not a herald of earthly things. He is a proclaimer, an exclaimer, a herald of the words of God. That's what a preacher is. We looked at what preaching does. And it proclaims the message of salvation from Genesis to Revelation from God's Word. Last week, we looked at the plan of God. Preaching is preaching the plan of God, the decrees of God, the eternal providence and decrees of God being carried out in history. That's what preaching is. And where are we at? Where are we at in proclaiming God acting in history? Christ has been proclaimed. Christ has come. Christ has died. Christ has been buried. Christ has been resurrected. He has ascended back to heaven. And the toddlers know how he went back into heaven. Okay, he went back into clouds. He is on his throne. And guess who provided that throne? None of us. God has provided his throne. He is ruling and reigning, and he is waiting for God to give him the word to come back as judge. I wish each of you every day would think of three words. It's sobering. It helps us to keep an honest look at living in this world. Three words: death, judgment, eternity. Death, judgment, heaven, or hell. You ought to think about that every day. So today, I'm telling you, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Luke 10:9-2 tells you, and he sent them to preach, the kingdom of God is at hand. They're one and the same. I want you to know this. The kingdom of God means the reign and the rule of God. You know what? Everybody will find out one day that whether they made him ruler and reigner or not, he is ruling and reigning. The Jews, listen to me now. Y'all look at me. The Jews missed Jesus because they were looking for an earthly king that would overthrow the Roman government and get them out of Jerusalem. Right? And we say, how in the world did they miss him? Y'all listen to me. We say, how could that have happened? Yet, we have missed entering into the kingdom of God for another reason. Anyone want to surmise or take a guess at why we have missed that kingdom? Oh, we know the kingdom of God has come, but how many of us have consciously entered in to his kingdom? And I believe Matthew 7:13-14 says, enter ye in through the narrow gate. In case I forget this, studying this week, and I'm sure some of y'all already have gotten this, enter in through the narrow gate. And all the history that I find is that gate into the city that would allow their camels come in was too small for a camel to come in. Unless he got down on his knees, he had been taught down to get on his knees and crawl through. Let me tell you, that's a little bit of a key to why many of us have not entered into his kingdom. If you're too proud to get on your knees and to confess your sins and to repent of them and beg Jesus to save you, you're not going to get into that kingdom. And we are prideful men. Amen. I tell you another reason the church has missed it. I have never heard a message on, quote, entering in to the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. So, we have not been challenged by modern preaching to enter into his kingdom. We've not been challenged by modern preaching to make him Lord. Matthew 22:37-38, I believe, says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all the rest of the Gospels except Matthew, and all your strength. I believe Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. I believe Exodus 20:3 says, you shall have no other gods before me. I believe that's what it says. The world's a mess. Donnie told me this morning. Donnie, you know, we always know what to pray about because Donnie wants me to pray. Okay? He says, the world's getting more evil all the time. Amen. You know why the world's a mess? Because ever since Adam and Eve rebelled in the garden, men have been rebellious. If you are not careful, if I'm not careful, we are stubborn, obstinate, rebellious people. Just look around us this morning. Most of the world is in open and defiant rebellion against God's reign, God Himself. Matter of fact, the candidate that I'm telling you about says, I know God. I'm living in open homosexuality. I broadcast it to the world. I know God, and I'm okay with God. Well, I can promise you, he knows neither God nor God's Word. And God's not okay with him. I want to tell you, your feelings will lie to you. The heart is deceitful above all things. Men and women are in trouble because they're rebels. I have a hard time getting you guys to believe that. But I can go down to the jail and I can tell them they're all rebels and I can tell them they're all lawbreakers and they all say amen. We are all lawbreakers. That's why we need Jesus. Men and women are in trouble because they're rebels and they're reaping the fruit of our own evil. Even Christians, even, quote, I believe in Jesus, I believe in God, refuse to move under the authority of Christ Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Why? Y'all know the answer. If it hasn't come to you yet, it will. You know the answer. No, listen, nobody wants to be accused of believing in lordship salvation. And I don't. You know what I'm talking about? I don't believe you have to make Jesus Lord for Him to save you. But because He did save you, I believe you will make Him Lord. And if you're not willing to make Him Lord, I have doubt whether or not, quote, you're saved. A follower of Jesus, dedicated to the Lord Jesus' glory, dedicated to obedience to His Word, loving Him with all his heart, soul, and mind, and working in the local church, will have no problems in making Jesus Christ Lord. It's not a requirement of salvation, but I believe it's a requirement of discipleship. Those who repent and believe in His death and resurrection will willingly submit to His reign and rule. The plan of God has always included the call to enter into the kingdom of God. So I am challenging you today to move into His kingdom. Now listen to me. Somebody's going to have to come off the throne for that to happen. Because every man has a king. The Bible tells us that we're living under the reign of the devil if we're not a child of God. The Scripture would teach us if we're saved and not careful, we'll be living under our own reign and rule if we're not careful. Take it from me, and I could bring a couple more rebels up here. And let us tell you that the way of the rebel is hard. Proverbs 13:15, look at it. Good sense wins favor, but the way of the treacherous is their what? You know, I love the Scripture. I believe it's Proverbs 19:3. It says, a man's own folly ruins his life. Y'all listen to this. Y'all listen carefully now. A man's own folly ruins his life, yet his heart rages against the Lord. Is that not man? There's no peace for rebels. There's no peace for rebels not submitting to their king's authority. Listen, an imperfect, worldly, earthly king will not put up with rebellion from his subjects. But you know what we do? Oh, God's a God of love. God loves me, and He sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sins, and my sins are covered. So, I'll just live like I want to. That is not scriptural. But that's what people think. Listen to me. An imperfect earthly king won't put up to rebellion from his subjects. Listen to me. And neither will God. Come on now. God is going to deal with our rebellion. He is slow. He is patient. He is kind. He is loving. He is understanding, but He will deal with our rebellion. Here's what you do. Here, you can pray right now. I am a rebel living in rebellion against Almighty God. I'm not ready, Lord, yet to give up my rebellion, but Lord, don't wait to judgment to punish me. Did y'all hear me? Surely even a rebel would say, don't wait to judgment. Because if a rebel waits to judgment for God to punish him, it's going to be eternal punishment. You better pray right now, oh God, bring this stubborn, rebellion, obstinate rebel under your submission today. Look at Isaiah 57, 21. There's no peace, says my God, for the... How much? You know why right next to opiates, antidepressants are the next? Listen to me. They don't have enough antidepressants to give you to get you over your depression for any significant time when you're living in sinful and stubborn and wicked rebellion against God. None. The modern man, the thinker, the philosopher is in trouble because they've just not turned their backs on God. They have denied that there is a God. Oh, there's people denying every day there is no God. Now, let me tell you what the reign of God is. That is the exact opposite of the reign of God. The reign of God is the rule of God. The reign of God is God presently ruling in His people. Who's your king? Who's your ruler? You know what a lot of Christians would say? Nobody's my king. Nobody's my ruler. You know, if somebody asks us who's our king, who's our ruler, we ought to say King Jesus. It means the coming of the righteousness of God in our lives. What is sanctification? We ask it to our toddlers. It's God making sinners holy in heart and conduct. That's what happens when we're under the rule of God. It means, listen, when we're under the rule of God, it means the peace of God. Even in our circumstances. It means that evil is being controlled and defeated. It means that God's blessings are already being showered on His people. Wow. It means we're in the midst of God's favor. It means we're the heirs of God and are looking forward to everlasting joy with Him in the new heaven and new earth. That's preaching. The Savior has come. The kingdom of God has come. Repent, believe the gospel, and enter into His kingdom. I'm telling you. If there was some earthly king waiting outside the door that promised you peace, prosperity, and a share of his inheritance, you'd sign up when you left. And that guy owns a drop in the bucket to what the God has for you. And the real peace has nothing to do with things here. It has to do with how we look at eternity. So the kingdom of God. Now, this not entering into the kingdom of God, why does this make so much sense that we do not enter into the kingdom of God when we consider this passage that we're about to look at? I want you to look at Luke, the fourth chapter. It's right there in your scripture. And while you're going there, I'm going to go somewhere else. You stay right where you're at. I want to tell you who you are, who we all were, who you are, who we were all at one time before we became before we became a child of God and entered into His kingdom. Listen to, you're in the Luke passage. I'm in the Ephesians 2. Listen to verse 1. And you were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked. Here's the kingdom you used to be in. Following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, you were at one time in this world, you were living under the kingdom of the prince of the power of this world, you were living under the reign of the devil, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, and listen, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh. Why did we live there? Because of the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and mind. We were doing what the body and mind wanted to do, and were by nature children of wrath. That's who we were until God and God alone in verse 4 made us alive and gave us a new nature. But I want you to look at the Luke passage. Considering that this is what Jesus says He has done and is going to do, why in the world would not everybody enter into His kingdom? Look at this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And listen, and many people in this world today are captives to somebody or to something or both. And there's only one person that can deliver you from that, and it's no own earthly person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. So if you're captive to sin, Satan itself, addictions, whatever they might be, there's only one that can set you free. And if He did set you free, why would you not enter into His kingdom? And we've all been set free from sin, Satan, and self if we're Christians. Well, let me ask you, why have we not willingly entered into His lordship? And we just read it. I just read it. I'll read it again. Because of this, we love the passions of the flesh, we love to carry out the desires of the body and the mind, and we love being wrathful. We love being rebellious. We want delivered, but we want to go right back living like we want to live. What did the people of Israel do when they got across the Red Sea? They looked back over there and said, "Let me go back." Verse 20, and He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on Him. And He began to say, "Today the Scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Today the Scripture is fulfilled in your ears. The kingdom of God is here. His coming, His living, His dying, Him buried, Him resurrected, Him ascending, Him ruling, and the time for our submitting is here. It's today." It's not a future. Listen to me. If you're waiting for Him returning to make Him the Lord of your life and to make Him your king, it's too late. The day of God's favor has come. The day of release, the day of pardon, the day of renewal, the day of new life, the day of rejoicing in the rule of God instead of rebelling against it has come. The day of grace has arrived. And the one who has set us free, listen to me, now wants to rule and reign in our lives for our good. How far will a train go? Asked Billy Barton. Off the track. How far will a Christian go outside living under the authority of God's Word and then the authority of God Himself without getting off the track and having a wreck? Not far. Look at Romans 6, 17 and 18. But thanks be to God that you who were once what? Of sin and Satan and self have become what? Obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin have become slaves for righteousness. That's who you are now. You're no longer under the control of sin, Satan, self, the devil, what you want to do. You're not under that control anymore. Now, 1 Samuel 30, and I don't know how much I'm going to read to you, but you'll remember this, this account. David is having all his hands full with Saul, and Saul's out to kill him, and they're out in the wilderness. You know the exchange. One day, David will find Saul asleep in the cave, and they'll sneak up and get some water and cut off a part of his robe and reveal himself, and Saul will say, I'm sorry, and the next day, Saul's throwing spears at Jonathan and ready to kill David again. You remember the account? Well, while they're off at this time, something bad happens to David and his family and the families of his army back in Ziklag. Y'all remember that? Look at verse 1 and verse 30. Now, when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had made a raid against the Negeb and against Ziklag, and they had overcome Ziklag and burned it with fire, and taken captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great. They killed no one, but carried them off and went their way. And when David and his men came to the city, they found it burned with fire, and their wives and sons and daughters were taken what? Captive. And then David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. David's two wives had also been taken, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the wife of Nabal of Carmel. And David was greatly distressed, for the people who had lost all of their families spoke of stoning him because all the people were bitter in soul, each of his for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And guess what he did? He said, let's go get them. They'd been taken captive. And he says, let's go get them. So look down in verse 16. And when he came to the Amalekites, he had taken him down. Behold, they were spread abroad over all the land, eating and drinking and dancing because of the great spoil they had taken from the land of the Philistines, from the land of Judah. Look at this. And David struck them down from twilight until the evening of the next day, and not a man of them escaped except 400 young men who mounted camels and fled. David recovered all that the Amalekites had taken. David rescued his two wives. Nothing was missing, whether small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything had been taken. David brought them all back. He had found them. He had delivered them from captivity. He captured all the flocks and the herds, and the people drove the livestock before him. And look what they said. This is David's spoil. It was really theirs. It was really what had been captured of theirs, their wives and their livestock and all of that. And they were ready to give it all to David now. And our Lord Jesus has done more for us than David ever did for his people, and he was the greatest king ever. Well, why don't we want to give our lives to him? Why wouldn't we? In our soberness here today, is it not the intelligent thing to do? To give all that we have in our lives, our very lives, to God Almighty because of what He's done for us? He did not go get our wives back. He did not go get our property back. He did not go get our livestock back. He got our very lives back. He has saved our souls from a burning hell. What would we not give Him? Listen, you know what we ought to say? Oh, Lord, I can't believe You'd take this poor, miserable life of mine, but if You will, here it is. Why? You can go back to your notes, and I'm going to read a couple of scriptures to you. John 3:19. John 3:19 is a good explanation. And this is the judgment. Light has come into the world. What is the light we're talking about today? The kingdom of God has arrived. That's light. It's been told to you. You knew it. Listen, you haven't been told enough. The kingdom of God is at hand. But I'm telling you, we're going to talk about the kingdom of God is at hand because I believe it will absolutely benefit and empower the church, especially the power of God for the sanctification of the people when we enter into His kingdom. And this is the judgment. Light is coming to the world, but people love darkness rather than light because their deeds or their works were evil. Why won't we enter into His kingdom? Because we love our evil deeds. Even Christian people love their sins. Especially, those little pet sins. Those little things. It's no part in hurting anybody but me. Y'all know the ones I'm talking about. And then Ephesians says, among whom we all once lived. We have the passions of the flesh if we don't put it to death. We have the desires of the body and the mind if we don't put it by death. And we're by nature, the nature we got from Adam, children of wrath. That's why we won't enter into His kingdom. Mark 1:15 says, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. God's appointed and previously proclaimed Redeemer has arrived. Not is coming, He has arrived. Not only has He arrived, now He's died, He's been resurrected, He's ascended to heaven. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Forget about the age that we're living in. God, listen to me. Look at me, please. Some of you are taken captive. Let me tell you, God still delivers the captives. And how long do I beg to that God to deliver me from this captivity that I have? Listen, until He delivers you, but every day you're expecting that day for Him to deliver you. That's faith. It's active. I don't think God can. I think God's going to. I just don't know when. The crucial act of all of this, don't forget, Christ died on the cross. We cannot enter into His kingdom unless someone has paid our penalty. Christ has redeemed us. He has set us free from sin, Satan, self, and eternal destruction. So how do I get into this kingdom? Y'all ready? I mean, if I could write it out for you today, if I could give you three easy steps, would you enter into His kingdom today? Well, listen, Matthew 11:28 says, come to Me, all who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You got to come to Jesus. The only way to enter into the kingdom of God is through Jesus Christ, and probably a good place to start to enter that kingdom is on your knees. Repent and believe the gospel. But all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Take hold of what Jesus did on the cross. Enter into His kingdom. Acts 16:31 says, and they said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved, you and your entire household. So when you come here on Sunday morning, do you want to sing about what Christ has done? If you cannot sing and do not want to sing, you're still blinded by sin and Satan. And you do not even know that you're a lost soul. Listen to me. But if you've never seen your sin and failure, if you are afraid to die and to face God, then you have to say, this is the most wonderful news I've ever heard. Listen, if you've never seen your sin and your failures as real as they are, and today you've seen them, if you've never come face to face with God and your sinfulness, and you have today, and you know you need to repent, you need to give up the love of the world and begin to love God, this is great news. Come to Jesus. And I can't tell you how. Seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness. All you who are all you who labor and are heavy laden, come to me and I'll give you rest. Enter by the narrow gate. Believe in Jesus. Isn't it wonderful to know that God sent His Son to pay a penalty that I could not pay? Isn't it good to know that Jesus came to take my place and to be my substitute and reconcile me to Himself? Isn't it good to know that in my, listen to me, look at me please, this describes some of you, and I'm not looking, in my hopelessness and helplessness, I cast my sins on Jesus. I throw myself at His feet, and I cling to His feet and beg Him to save me. And you hold on, kind of like when Jacob wrestled with the angel, you hold on till you know He saved you. You know how you're going to know? You're going to have a desire to get up and walk a new life and live a new life. Just hang on. That you get up willing to make Jesus Savior and Lord. John 6:37 says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. Listen to this promise. Whoever comes to me, did y'all hear that? Whoever, could you see it? Whoever comes to me, I will what? In no wise or never cast out. This is the best and greatest news that ever been announced. This is the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Fall at the feet of Jesus openly and loudly. Tell God that because of what He has done in Christ and with His help, you're going to turn from going your way and you're going to go His way. Repent of not following Christ and turn from the sins that caused His death. You know why you can't love your sins, even your pet sins? Because it's those pet sins that caused Christ to have to die on the cross. Even our little sins, even our pet sins, even our sins that are not hurting anybody else, caused Christ's death. Trust in His death in your place for your forgiveness. Trust in His grace to set you on and keep you on His path. And if you will do this, you can be reconciled to God and forever secure. And lastly, enter through the narrow gate into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in the Scripture, in Matthew 7:13-14, I want to get back there so I'll read it and not mess it up. It says this, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it by many are many. For the gate is narrow, and listen to this, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. So let me tell you about that path you're fixing to enter in on. It won't be the path that everybody else is on. They're going to be going with the world and the ways of the world, and with their desires, and you'll be on another path, and it'll be narrow. You'll probably be going uphill or upstream, and it'll be narrow, and it'll be difficult. But I want to tell you, you're not worried about the path. You're worried about where the paths take you. One path takes you to destruction, one path takes you to heaven, and that's the hard and the difficult path, and that's the one you need to be on. Lord, I pray that if there's one here today that's never entered into the kingdom of God, that have never submitted to His Lordship, that have never given their life fully to Him, that You wouldn't let them out the front door before You bring them to their knees and save their very souls. Lord, we love You, we praise You, and it's in Jesus' name that we do. Amen.